Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We're going to be putting a great spotlight on the Southwest today, talking trash. I always love to talk trash with my friend who's here. I'm Gina Murphy, darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. And our special thanks to the City of Tucson Department of Environmental Services for their support of the Mrs. Green's World mission and vision, and for all the great work they do in our community. A lot of it you see, a lot of it you don't see, but they are very busy working, making a difference, and keeping our community healthy. And I'm actually going to get to that for in a minute. So for this next 30 minutes, we're going to be talking about being a good neighbor and the pros and cons of recycling centers and what's changing in that whole arena. And I am thrilled to have as my in-studio guest someone who is no stranger to Mrs. Green's world and who knows just about everything you wanted to know about recycling. She's my recycling Wikipedia, and I've been known to call her and say, can you recycle this? And maybe she knows some things that we don't even want to know about recycling, things that they have found in some of those places we don't want to talk about. So Christina Palsgrove is the Public Information Officer for the City of Tucson Environmental Services. So welcome, my friend. It's great to have you here to talk trash with
me. It's great to be here.
I know. And you do have big news. I mean, this is a big change for the city about the recycling center. So
it is.
Take it away.
Before, we had the Blue Barrel curbside recycling program. Tucson was, you know, we were very in on recycling early on. And the city had set up neighborhood recycling sites so that people could take the recyclables and drop them off. We've had as many as 13. We're at 12 right now. But in 2003, when the Blue Barrel program was rolled out, we still kept the 12 sites. And over the years, we've just seen that they've really become dumping grounds. And it's gotten particularly bad in the sites that are in public parks. And it's becoming very costly to maintain them. We have to keep them clean to be a good neighbor. And it's very clear that people who are bringing sofas and green waste and all sorts of other just trash are not, I don't think they think they're recyclable. I think they're trying to
get it out of their yard,
get it out of there and not have to go to the landfill.
It's just, it's like sickening, actually. I mean, I can say that. You probably don't want to, but I can say that. It's like people wake up, and there's a ripple effect to this. When I was thinking about it and getting ready for the show, people who come from out of town go to the parks. Families go to the parks. Mm-hmm. People who care about nature go to the parks. And to see things that are literally look like the dump, I don't necessarily want that to be part of my landscape when I'm trying to enjoy nature in the city.
And that has a lot to do with the decision that's been made. The sites in the parks are really just getting uncontrollable.
And is it to the point where it can be like almost dangerous? Can rotting things that can make you sick, or getting pets around them? Has it ever been that, or is it just really too much trash?
We've definitely had some stuff that's not safe. I would say things like sharps, you know, syringe needles, things like that. You definitely don't want people running through. And we have people that go into that get in the dumpster to pull aluminum cans out. So what's going to happen to them if something is in there that's bad? Human waste, animal waste, we've seen just about everything.
She said those are the things that I said Christina knows about that we might not want to. And, you know, I actually read the mission statement, and I don't know if I've read it before and I forgot, but it does fit into what you're saying. The mission of the Environmental Services Department is to promote a healthy Tucson community by providing innovative and effective waste management and environmental protection services. So this is really aligned with your mission to be making the changes. So what are the changes going to be? Are you totally doing away with them?
No. As I said, we have 12 sites right now. We're actually going to eliminate 8 of them. But
wow.
We're going to add 4 more. So we're going to have a total of 7. One in each ward so that people will still be within 3 miles of one. So, you know, and really of our customer base, people who live in single family homes within the Tucson city limits, and really so many people who live in the unincorporated areas of the county, they have curbside recycling because their haulers offer it.
Right.
So it's really there for people who maybe live in apartment complexes that don't have recycling, or for those times of the year when, especially at the holidays, when
right.
we have
a
little bit
stuff.
More
yeah.
recycling than
right. Is there a way, and I didn't research this because we have Do More Blue. We don't have to do that. We always participate for the Christmas tree recycling. That's a time when, like, where do we take this or a bigger item? What about if someone wanted to find out what you could put there, which I kind of think it's intuitive, not a couch, people. I wouldn't think I could put a couch in a recycling bin. What can they find out what goes in the recycling bins on a website?
Well, they certainly can go to domoreblue.tucson.com and we have the information there. But I will tell you that, you know, we didn't make this decision overnight. It's been coming, and we used to have big roll-off containers there, and then people would put the couches and the mattresses, and so we had all new signage put on them to make it very clear with pictures, and that wasn't working. So then we put smaller containers with very nice, very clear signage, and in some of the areas where the dumping is particularly bad, it's pretty clear that doesn't mean anything.
They just don't pay attention. It's awful. It's like when we used to live where we had an alley. I couldn't believe the stuff people just put in their alley.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is not your garbage can. That's what I mean. I learned that from my mother, and believe me, I taught my kids. This is not, you just don't throw out your trash, but we're not the ones that are going to be the target of this. What are you going to do to let people know? Is it just going to be a move? I mean, not everyone in Tucson will listen to this show, which I wish they would, but what are you going to do in terms of notification?
Well, we've already sent out a news release. One of the local stations has picked it up. We're using our social media. We have it on our website. We've been actually, one of our social media followers gave us a little tip. They said, in response to the announcement, you know, this is why we can't have nice things. And so we've been posting some pictures of some of the things we find and, you know, hashtagging it with, you know, this is why we can't have nice things.
And it just reminds me of the good have to suffer with the bad. There's probably a lot of people doing the right thing, but these violations are, to me, they're actually egregious when you tell me about some of the things that go in there, and it hurts everybody.
We did a recent audit or waste characterization at one of the sites in the last couple of months, and of all the material in the bins, 2/3 of it was trash and 1/3 of it was recyclable.
That's awful. So there are people are literally using it for a garbage can.
Yes.
That's really not okay. I mean, seriously. So they're going to have to find someplace else. They'll probably... those people might put it in the alley. I just don't, if you don't think that way, it's hard to think that way.
Well, and I will say that it's not just happening, the illegal dumping is not just happening at our sites. It's given people a location.
That makes it easier.
That makes it easier. But you see it in alleys. You see it on empty lots. And that's just people not thinking about, you know, I guess they figure someone will come clean it up.
Yeah, it's a mindset that I just really don't get. And hopefully they're not there and they're teaching their children. It's good to get the word out about this. So when are the changes going to occur?
We're going to start closing the sites next week. It's a process because some of them have 10 to 12 8-yard dumpsters.
Wow.
At them, yes. And so we've put some signs out letting people know they're closing. But then we are adding, as I said, 4 new sites, and those will be ready to go on July 1st.
So what do you think will change in terms of the relocation of the sites? Is there going to be, there had to be a method in the madness for that.
We are moving the sites to locations where there are other city facilities that are adjacent to them, like a fire station, a police station.
Good idea. And if you could just have sirens go off if they dumped the wrong thing.
But we do have a current site that's right next to and is on the property of the Hardesty Police Midtown Station, and we never have problems there.
So people know. That just is absolutely proof that they know that they're doing something wrong. Oh, my gosh. I think we need nanny cams to start.
I don't want to spill the beans, but yes, we've already thought of that.
Seriously. And then you have to review the tapes, which is a whole nother many full-time jobs.
But I, you know, one of the things that I think happens often is that the stuff that gets dumped there is the result of, say, you know, you are cleaning out your garage or your yard and you hire somebody to go take the stuff away. And you're trying to do the right thing because, you know, if you didn't, you'd just dump it in the alley.
Right.
And it's not ending up at the landfill. So you're paying for service that you're not receiving. And so I tell people, you know, when you hire someone, it's okay to say I'll pay you half now and half when you bring me the receipt from the landfill. And I think it's a safe thing to do because one of our staff members found medical records, tax records at one of the sites.
Oh.
And, you know, in these days of identity theft.
That is really, I mean, people, listen to this. Make sure you know where your trash is going. That is shocking. So hire somebody, think you're doing the right thing, and they're not. That's really scary. That's worse than putting a bunch of garbage in a dumpster that it doesn't belong in.
Well, you know, I know that we've hired people in the past, and you're doing it because you don't want to leave it out on the street or somewhere else, and it's just not ending up there.
And then it
hurts those people out there who are honest haulers and who really do take things to the landfill.
Right,
so.
Right. So just do your homework a little bit. What kind of reaction do you think you'll get from the public? I'd like to guess and see if I'm right. Can we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I would think is the people that are breaking the law, they're not going to say a word because they knew they were doing the wrong thing in the first place. But maybe they'll be the ones that make the most noise. So what do you anticipate in terms of backlash or anything in that arena?
When I was out at one of the sites with the TV reporter, we actually had somebody drive up who had a sofa on the back of the truck, and they really pondered, okay, am I going to leave this here? Or, you know, where clearly they're filming. And
what happened?
He kind of hung around for a couple minutes and then decided to drive off. And it was in the news report. We've seen, actually, in the last couple of weeks, it's gotten worse. And so we don't know if it's because people know it's ending.
And they got to get rid of their garbage quickly.
Or,
And what about, like, when the couches, I'm just curious as to, are some of them couches that could be donated to someplace like Habit Store or Goodwill, or are they just broken down junk?
I think sometimes they're perfectly usable.
That's even more disgusting because someone might be able to use your new couch. When we got a new couch and we called Habit Store, And I did a little tiny video on here we go, you know, Mrs. Green walking the walk. It got something like 3,000 views because there are more people that want to do the right thing. I can't believe it. I'm glad that guy got away. I'm only kidding. I wish he had gotten out and caught on camera. It's like, but you weren't in the catch me game.
No, we're not in the catch me game. We're in the, you know, keeping Tucson clean. So, but, you know, illegal dumping is just one of those things that I think, especially, it's not just Tucson. You know, we're seeing it, we're hearing it from other municipalities that we work with, and it's just kind of a thing that's happening.
Yeah, it'll be ongoing. So you don't have to worry about job security. You're always going to need a Department of Environmental Services. And, you know, if there's anything else you want to say about that, great. But if not, I like to do a refresher when I have you because people ask me things all the time, and I do usually call you. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I gave misinformation about, I believe, is toothbrushes. You cannot recycle toothbrushes, correct?
No, you can't because... You've been to the recycling facility.
I have. You see
the machinery that sorts. A toothbrush is just going to fall through and end up on the floor. It doesn't have the
It's too small.
The substance yet.
It's too small. Okay, so that's good to know. And then what about, people ask me this so many times, the rumors about, oh, they're not really recycling it like glass. They just put it in the landfill. That comes up a lot. What do you do with glass? I know markets change, demand changes, innovation comes around. So what's the current story about glass?
Right now, and for the past several years, there really hasn't been a big market for recycled glass. But with the new facility that was open, 3 years ago, they do have buyers. And so we are recycling glass. So much of recycling depends on where you are in the country and how close you are to someone who will recycle
that product. Who has a use for it.
Right. And, you know, we don't recycle styrofoam because there's no place close except, you know, Jason at Fairfax. He's doing something with it locally. But if we didn't have him, it would be very costly to ship styrofoam across the country because
it doesn't weigh anything. You have to make it easy for people. And I know Jason, people know it's Jason Tankersley at the Fairfax companies, and he actually invested in a machine. And I feel truly altruistically, because he's such an environmentalist, he couldn't stand it. And the people in Tucson and Pima County that are listening, just you can make a concerted effort. I told people that they could bring styrofoam here and I would take it to the Fairfax companies. There can be little neighborhood initiatives like that because it never biodegrades. It's going to be with us forever, way, 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 way forever. Mm-hmm. So it's just a bad, I call it the devil of waste. It's never biodegrades. And I went out and I saw that machine that Jason has, and it's free to take it, a little inconvenient. I mean, come on, people. Isn't Mother Earth worth a little bit of inconvenience?
But you were asking about the glass. And so glass bottles and jars, things that contain food, they go in the recycle bin, leave the lids on. That's fine. It all gets recycled, and we are not. When we were putting some to do daily cover at the landfill, I know people were kind of upset about that, but again, we have to remember that in the solid waste hierarchy, reuse is actually higher than recycling.
Yes, yes.
And we were using it for a specific purpose that was critical to us because we do have to cover the landfill every day before we leave.
And people complained about that?
Yeah, because, you know, it's at the landfill.
Yeah.
But we did use an awful lot of the recycled glass when we didn't have a market for it as a substitute for sand, because that's really what it is. And it made a good bedding for, you know, piping and things that we were doing, construction projects. And so we really were using it.
And as construction improves and builds up, will it, and with the new recycling facility, will that lend itself to more buyers, or does it have to have another treatment You know what I mean? Does it have to be, you know, made back into sand? Is it used in...
In a real construction other than, you know, pipe bedding or something, it would really need to be broken down into sand.
Right, sandblasted, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. So that's good to know. And I like to know that it's not, you know, I just say, no, there's all these rumors that go around, and try to get your, do some fact checking. And we don't put out alt facts on this podcast.
Now, one thing that when you brought up glass is remember that things that you think are glass are not really glass, like your dishes. You know, so that's something that's not recyclable, and we call it flat glass. You know, right. If it's flat, if it's a drinking glass, they're really very different types of glass, and so those things should not be going into the recycling bin.
And that's good to know, but it's more like bottles and jars,
yes.
Right? Wine bottles and...
I tell people the easy way, and this has to do with plastics, if it was a container of some sort for food or... it's probably recyclable.
Highly likely. That's mm-hmm. good. And rinse it out. It doesn't take a lot of water. Rinse it out and put the lid back on. That was another thing I asked you, I think, the last time about plastic bottles, lid on or lid off. And you said, did you say it doesn't matter?
Lids on.
Lids on. That's what I do. Lids on, because then it doesn't go down in those little holes and it can be broken down.
Right.
And they're making great things out of plastic, like unbelievable things mm-hmm. with benches and that Trex material. So they're really finding uses for it, and just don't think about throwing it in the garbage, please. It blows me away, even at events where the signs are very clear what to put in what, and all you have to do is take 2 seconds to read. Okay, another biggie that I think is important is that I get asked a lot, and I know what to say now because of my education with you, is medication. A lot of people say, oh, I just flush mine right down the toilet.
No.
And I just say, no, that is the wrong thing to do, because then I'll be drinking your Ambien, which is really not good. I don't need, I have a heart medication, so don't flush it down the toilet.
No. You know, people can put that in their trash, but you would not want animals or somebody to get it.
Right.
And, you know. The unfortunate thing is, once you put it out there, you don't know who goes through and what they might think it is. But the Dispose-O-Med program, which is a partnership between Pima County and the city and others, hospitals locally, we take the medications. The Sheriff's Department has events where they collect them. But there's 5 police substations in the city that have a bin in the lobby that looks like an old mailbox. It's the same, you know, kind of function. And you just drop them in there, and then that way they will be destroyed and disposed of properly.
And if you put them down the toilet, they can end up in the water stream. I mean, that's the really scary thing about that. So I don't do that. What about when you do the hazardous waste collection? Do you take them then or not? Is that mixing? Because it's not really hazardous waste.
We are not taking medications, because generally, to take them, you need to have law enforcement present.
To get rid of your drugs?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Nobody's going to mess with them if they're taking them into the police station. There's a certain logic to that I just realized. Yeah, take it there. Nobody's going to take them out of there,
right. Which
is what the most important thing is. Mm-hmm. That's really good to know, too. And people just don't know. It's getting the word out about things like this. And I'm happy when they ask me, because... if people are engaged with Mrs. Green's world, they care about things like that, because
yes.
they know it has an impact. Okay, another thing, and I don't know why this is one of my favorite things to talk to you about. I think it's really weird. Maybe it's the name, but tell us about Brush and Bulky and how that all came about. And, you know, I looked at the schedule. It's a big deal. I looked at the big map and how it's very clear by sections, and it's in each geographic area twice a year. It's really extensive, and it has to be expensive. I don't want to go into the... But it's another thing, going back to your mission statement, about how you do provide services that make Tucson cleaner and healthier. So tell us about Brush and Bulky.
Well, Brush and Bulky is probably the most popular service that we offer.
Maybe that's why I like it. I like the Brush and Bulky.
It's been in place for a long time, and decades, and it's twice a year, you get to clean out your garage or clean your yard and just set the stuff out either in the alley or the curb, depending on where your garbage is collected. And we come through and we take it all away, and it's up to 10 cubic yards. So for people to picture that, that's like, imagine 10 washing machines. It's a lot of material.
It's a lot of waste. Yes.
And then they leave your area nice and clean. They sweep up and, you know, take everything away, and people love it.
And I actually printed out the list. I did it on two sided paper so I didn't waste. Okay, this was something else. I want to point that out because I try not to print. But this has surprised me, and I think it's worth telling people because these are problem items. Appliances, and all you ask is that you remove the freezer or refrigerator doors. Auto tires, you can put 5 tires. That's a big deal. They are another thing that will last forever. They're never going away either. They don't rot. Furniture, carpets, mattresses. People don't know where to take mattresses. It's a hard thing to have to get rid of. Brush, and even tree trunks up to 24 inches in diameter. I mean, I think I'm becoming an expert on this stuff. Branches no more than 5 feet long. Cactus must be boxed up to 25 pounds. And I know that's even for the Fairfax companies. I mean, cactus is a tough thing to recycle. It's not to mention handle, because that's another thing. Lumber up to 5 feet long. Scrap and metal pipes. Bicycles, swing sets. And then it says brush and bulky load maximum is 10 cubic yards or 10 washing machines. So you can figure that out. That's a lot. And it is, I looked at like one, there's one at like June 26th. And then it's another one in that same neighborhood around Christmas time. So it's like about six months apart. I think it's great. That's just in the city.
Yeah.
Right.
And we will actually do a special pickup. Same amount of material for a fee, on demand. So, you know.
But that's good to know either, and I'm not sure if I knew that. So that's really, I think that's great to know. Brush and bulky, check it out. And there's good information on your website, which you should say what your website is.
TucsonAZ.gov/ESD.
And there's a lot, and it's easy to click on everything and find it and, you know what's really happening out there. And, you know, the other part is, I just want to encourage our listeners to spread the word. I mean, you have neighbors, you have friends, you have family, and make it a conversation, because there's a lot of good things that are going on out there to do the right thing. And of course, I want to know, some of these items are problem items, and I don't have a problem with them going in landfill if that's where they have to go. But for things like mattresses, that's it, right? I think there's one place now that takes mattresses again. I don't think it's the Havistore, I have to remember, or Goodwill, but there is a place.
And I thought Restore was the only place I knew of.
Okay. I didn't know that. So did we cover all of the biggies in the time that flew? Is there anything else you want to add?
One thing I would like to say is we do have an app. You know how people say there's an app for everything. It's My Waste. And you can sign up for reminders so you'll know when your schedule is and when your brush and bulky is. And you can look up to see where to take things that maybe don't fit in your trash bin.
Because, like, nowhere to throw.
Yes.
I love those catchy little phrases. I'm so glad you brought that up. The I told you earlier that we were interviewing someone from 10,000 Villages. And the social media world just... Everybody here, if you're not on that wagon, we've left the station, and everything is right. You can put it in your hand.
Absolutely.
And I don't mind it at all. I can tell you that. The convenience of it. Somebody was reading to me, Kelly was reading to me a funny app for weather forecasts. And there's fun stuff, but there's important stuff like this, and it will send you a reminder, I need to do that. So everybody, time flies when you're talking trash. That's my line for the day. We had a lot of good information with our friend Christina Paulsgrove from the Department of Environmental Services. Just live consciously. Make good decisions. Contact Mrs. Green's World if you don't know the right thing to do, because we'll be happy to help you. June 20th, Danielle Wolowitz, The Right Thing to Do. It's going to be a great show. And Mead Mayer. And Mike Malozzi, Stormwater, another inside scoop. Christina, thanks for being here, and
thanks
for all you do.
Me.